With?
DJ Heckus with Exhib It.
And thank you, DJ, for not only being our co-host on ABQ Connect Now, but the sponsor of ABQ Connect Now, the radio show.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I really enjoy this.
Well, DJ, we're delighted to have our mayor as a guest. So why don't you introduce our mayor, DJ?
I am too. Today we have Mayor Richard J. Berry. He's serving his second term after being reelected by a historic 68% of the vote of Albuquerque. Prior to serving as mayor of Albuquerque, he also served two terms in the New Mexico State Legislature, and he spent his career in the private sector, where he and his wife Maria operated an award-winning regional construction firm. Welcome today, Mayor Berry.
Well, thanks. Thanks. Good morning, and thanks for being in business, both of you. Thanks for doing what you do with the business community. That's the backbone of our economy, obviously, and I'm always a big fan of people that are out there pulling the sled.
Well, Mayor, you know, I'm going to say, not just because you're on the show, but I've been an admirer of the fact that you're very accessible to the business community. Frankly, you're the least politicized mayor in my lifetime, and I've been here all my life, and I mean that as a compliment.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
And I really think you're more of a pragmatist. I think you try to be practical in your approach. I want to talk about some of the business enterprises, entities that are resources in our business ecosystem, like ABQID, Fatpipe, mm-hmm. all the accelerators, and the partnerships the city has formed with UNM and others. Talk a little bit about some of those partnerships to really foster and facilitate entrepreneurship in Albuquerque.
Well, let's go back in time just a little bit.
Sure.
Let's talk about how Albuquerque got to where we are today. I'll try not to bore you too much with too many statistics, but I think it's kind of important to see where we are. So we've had 30 plus months of job growth in Albuquerque. Our gross receipts taxes are on the upswing. We are now have job growth on a year-over-year basis. It's a little bit ahead of some of our peer cities, on par with national average. That's different than it's been for a number of years. Our big economic downturn in Albuquerque, the big jobs bleed, if you will, took place in 2007, 2008, and then the first part of 2009, where when that recession hit here, Jeffrey, we lost over 23,000 jobs in about 2 years. My first 2 years in office, we lost another about 6,700 jobs in Albuquerque for a total of about 30,000. Well, that's not untypical. If you look at it, for cities around the country, if you look at the top 100 cities in America and you look at how the recession hit them, Albuquerque was about 33rd. So about two-thirds of the top 100 cities got hammered worse than us. Part of the reason for that is because we have a government public sector base here, and that didn't take nearly the hit that manufacturing cities and others did. But if you start looking at the recovery, some of these cities that really dropped fast have bounced back faster. And that brings to light this idea that we've been talking about since my first term, and that is we are so blessed to have the government sector here. We should always cherish that. We should work to build that up. Senator Domenici, Senator Bingaman did a lot of work to make sure that the labs were funded. Kirtland Air Force Base is a great asset. And for New Mexico in general, Cannon Air Force Base in Clovis, Holloman Air Force Base, White Sands Missile Range, LANL in northern New Mexico, it's good stuff. But it's not diversified. I talk to mayors all over the country, and I'm the head of the U.S. Conference of Mayors Metro Economies Committee. And we talk about cities that weren't diversified enough. And there's lots of great stories of that around there. You know, Pittsburgh was a steel town. Steel starts on the decline. Pittsburgh has to reinvent itself. Other cities, Kodak leaves Rochester. They have to reinvent themselves. Story after story.
Look at Michigan. I mean, they really got hit hard,
Well, the
too.
Whole Rust Belt. These mayors from Ohio that I talked to around the Detroit area, you know, they're really struggling mightily. That doesn't mean to say we're not struggling in certain areas, because there are certain things we need to do much better. But it really brought to light the recovery, the fact that when you're not diversified and you have all of your eggs in one basket, it's like a stock portfolio. I'm a finance major. If you don't have a diversified portfolio, your standard deviation's high, which means you're on much more of a at risk. And so that's kind of where we are. So that's why we talked about this.
So to be clear for our listeners, what you're talking about is our reliance in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with city, state government jobs disproportionate to maybe Tucson or other cities our size.
They have more of a manufacturing base. And that's not by accident. There was very intentional how Albuquerque got to be what it is. I mean, after World War II, we had leaders that really put a lot of our eggs in that basket. It's good. You know, it's good that we have Sandy. It's good that we're on the forefront of national defense and we have a great base there. But the fact that we don't have a manufacturing base is part of the reason that we're not springing back as fast. When these cities that dropped farther than us, they emptied their factories out because there was no demand. Well, they can hire those people back because they all stayed in those communities. They were unemployed, but you can add them back faster. So we've been trying. That's a long way of saying, I hope I wasn't too boring with that, but it's a long way of saying we want to change the trajectory of our local economy, and really as a state, by being more diversified in our economy. And that means the private sector. We never have to turn our back on, neglect, or apologize for our public sector. We should always push that. But if we can do things to be more entrepreneurial, to be more business-oriented, and kind of change the way we've thought of the regulatory environment in New Mexico, the business environment in New Mexico for the past, well, at least since World War II, to make that more attractive, it's going to be good for all of us because, you know, when government spending goes down and the private sector goes up, that's great. And they generally don't move in tandem. So it's a good way for us to do that. So all of these efforts that we're talking about today have really been centered around this idea of changing the trajectory and doing it through private sector and helping that be more robust. That's where entrepreneurship comes in. That's where our accelerators that we'll talk about come in.
Thanks for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now. We're a business radio show. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on 1050 KTBL. I'm Jeffrey Candelari with Bank of the West, along with
DJ Heckes with Exhib It. Mary Berry, you know, talking about what you're doing greatness on, is I really like how Albuquerque's embraced the entrepreneurial mindset for the city. Can you share with our listening audience about how you're teaching the city employees and really that innovation and that forethought?
We're getting national attention for this now, and it's interesting to me because it just comes naturally. I got out of college, borrowed a couple $1,000, started a business. And so my family are ranchers and farmers, and that's entrepreneurship as well. So it just seemed natural to me. But one of the things that I recognize, having worked in New Mexico and all over, you know, we worked in New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Texas, Nevada. New Mexico is a very entrepreneurial place. There's a very much a pioneering spirit here. So I knew, you know, I just knew from my business experience that was there. But we just needed to foster that. So a lot of the things that we tried to do at the city of Albuquerque, and I said run it more like a business, less like a political machine. I appreciate your comments earlier, Jeffrey, about that, because I really don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. If you got a good idea, I want to work with you. We decided to do something that people said couldn't be done, and that is, let's talk about entrepreneurship inside government. First thing people said was, well, you can't do that because entrepreneurs are business owners. I said, not true. I said, entrepreneurs are business owners, but that's not just what entrepreneurship is. Entrepreneurship is about getting things done. It's about taking a set of constrained resources and making the most out of them. It's about figuring stuff out. If you go into any, and I don't say this in a bad way, but if you go to any bureaucracy, whether it's private sector, large corporations, or if you go into government, with our 6,000 or so employees at the city, you'll find ingrained ideas and you'll find a system that is not set up to reward thinking outside the box. So we decided to change that. So we started teaching entrepreneurship, and we started with some of our city employees at Solid Waste. And there's a video out there on YouTube. You can kind of check it out. If you just Google City of Albuquerque entrepreneurship training, you'll see it. And we had some of these employees come in, literally arms crossed, frowns, you know, furrowed brow. Why am I here? I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm a city employee. And they walk out understanding that entrepreneurship is really just about thinking things through and finding a better way of doing things. And they love it. And we've had our many city employees go through this now. Our leadership has gone through it. We are now reaching out to the school district. We are now reaching out to state agencies and just getting them to understand there's a great curriculum out there. And private sector employers who might be listening, call us at 768-3000. We'll get you hooked up with some of this training. Your folks are going to feel great about it because they're going to learn something about themselves, about how entrepreneurship works, what it is. It's not just balance sheets and marketing and running a small business. It's about thinking things through. And you're going to invest – when you invest in your employees – and we talk about wealth creation in there. We just talk about making sure that in life in general, you and your family have the resources and skills and knowledge that you need to make good decisions and succeed. And that all translates into productivity in the workforce. And we think it's a neat deal.
Well, sometimes it's a simple common sense things like one of your city employees a couple of weeks ago, because I'm very observant around my home, the trash bin, some of the trash, ancillary trash, if you will, dropped out of the bin. Well, the guy swept that from the street when he didn't have to. You know, a lot of times 10 years ago, that same trash guy might have just left because he, you know, poured the pod into the truck and
did his job and moved on.
Right.
Yeah.
But I noted, and it made a difference to me. I even told my wife that, you know, that I appreciated that. I went down the street and I said, you know, I don't want to thank you for what you did. He swept the trash, a couple of pieces of trash from the surrounding area where the pod had, you know, it had dumped out, if you will.
We talked about this.
That means something.
We're in a customer service business.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're our customer. You're our boss. The taxpayer is our shareholder. You send us money. Our job is to give it back to you in services that matter. And we have great city employees, and they've done a wonderful job embracing this. And I'm just a big fan of our employees in general, and they're walking the walk out there.
And that's so important. You said at the very beginning something about that we're getting recognized for this program nationally or something.
Yeah.
Can you share that?
As natural as it seemed to me, nobody's done this that we can find. Nobody's actually talked about entrepreneurship inside government. So Inc. Magazine did a nice piece on our entrepreneurial mindset in Albuquerque. And Entrepreneur Magazine just did a nice piece on it. I'll be in Washington talking about this at the National Press Club. And it's just another reason that Albuquerque is getting put into the national press in a positive way. Every mayor I talk to has an incident. Every mayor has a protest. Every mayor has something negative happen in their city every single day. You live in a town of 1 million people, something bad is going to happen every day. If you dwell just on that, and that's all you get in the national press, that's not what we want. And we're over 4 million hits now. Mm. On this Better Way campaign, where we pick up panhandlers and help have them, you know, pay them $9 an hour and have them clean up neighborhoods. 4 million. We're viral on this thing. That's the kind of stuff that you need. So when I'm out at the Conference of Mayors or we're talking to a business prospect somewhere outside of the state, they Google Albuquerque, boom, this stuff comes up. Amen. You know, it's good.
Thank you again for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. I'm Jeffrey Candelari along with
DJ Heckes.
Our guest is Mayor Barry. DJ.
You know, I want to go on that because I really like what I'm hearing. And why does the media always have to turn Albuquerque to such a negative place sometimes? You know, I'm one of the Loop participants with Steve McKee, and we're always spreading out the positive things. And I really feel like the community's coming together and looking at all the great things that you're doing as our mayor, that, you know, the governor's doing, that AED is doing. I feel like we're finally working together. How do you feel about that?
I think we are. And the walk I try to walk, like we said earlier, is, you know, partisanship's just tearing our country apart. And even George Washington in his farewell address warns about this, right? Well, I'm a Republican, proud to be. I've got friends that are and family members are Democrats, proud to be. Fine. We may only agree on 30%. You know, when I was in the legislature for two terms, there were. I know I was supposed to be the conservative legislator. I had friends that were supposed to be the liberal or progressive legislators. Well, darn, man, we'd agree on 75% of the stuff anyway. Let's work on that. Now, we can take it behind the woodshed, and we can fight over the things that we need to fight over, the things that really, you know, we just can't get past an impasse on. But let's not forget that majority of things that we can get done. And that's where I think Albuquerque, we are at a real critical crossroads in New Mexico and Albuquerque right now. And if there's one thing I've done, if you came down to my office next week, you would see a very diverse group of people. I don't mean diversity just from the standpoint of race or gender. I'm talking about diversity of thought. If there's anything that I do as a mayor, I just want to show Albuquerque and New Mexico that you can do this. You don't have to be a political hack to be in public service. I don't say that to be prideful because, you know, we make mistakes every day. We just try to make them honest mistakes, and we try never to be petty and small about what we're doing. If we can get the whole community kind of thinking that way and pressuring in a positive way other elected officials to do that, I will feel, if nothing else, I've done something.
Well, politics is supposed to be partly about the art of compromise, but it's become the art of dichotomy, it seems like, over the last 10 years. Not so much necessarily in Albuquerque, but throughout the country. Let's get back to the ecosystem, economic ecosystem, yep, in Albuquerque. Some of the emergence of all these resources you've initiated and partnered with, and commend also Opendoal, your economic guy. I've been around doing business in Albuquerque for 28 years. Never experienced an economic development director as engaged. And I'm not saying that because you're here, because I don't say things I don't
Gary's
mean.
Gary's doing great work.
He's engaged.
Well, he's
he comes to events. Absolutely. But let's talk about the accelerators, incubators, right. Some of the partnerships.
So Gary was brought in to really start this entrepreneurship ecosystem and this movement, and it really has turned into a movement. It is ahead of where I thought it would be. I knew that Albuquerque would embrace it if we just had some meaningful programs in place and initiatives, but this is, it's beyond even what I would have hoped for. And I think it's because people do recognize that there are a lot of good things we can do. There's a lot of talent here. We do more science per capita than anywhere in the world. We've got a $1 billion arts economy. We've got great people. We've got a great workforce, an underappreciated workforce, frankly. Everybody that comes here, whether they're building jets, computer chips, or anything else, can find a great workforce here. We shouldn't apologize for it. We should continue to build it up. But Gary's done a great job of taking this mantle, and that is go out there and tell people that it can be done, whether it's commercialization of research from the laboratories or the university. Bob Frank at the university as president has a big push. Kathy Winograd is doing great things at CNM. And I think the reason you're seeing so much energy is because people really have put their swords down, and we're working together, and we're breaking these silos down, these fiefdoms that people would never get out of before. And so we went from having zero accelerators, meaning you could come in as a small business person with an idea, we'll run you through a boot camp type scenario, we'll have a lot of rigor, we'll vet your idea, make sure you come out of the program ready to launch. We had none. Now we have six. We didn't have any kind of a closing fund for the city of Albuquerque that we have ever known of. Now we've got $10 to $12 million. Our city councilors came through and agreed to set money aside. So if a company does want to come here or they want to grow here, we have some resources. The state now has a $50 million closing fund. We didn't have a fund of funds here from a venture capital standpoint. You could always get a couple hundred thousand for startup, and some of the companies went big, but you didn't have this mid-range capital. Well, the State Investment Council, and Governor Martinez is the head of that. Gary Opendoal was really working for a long time to push this idea about getting a fund of funds and using some of the state investment money for venture capital. That's now in place. We worked hard to get the tax code changed, and our legislators on a bipartisan basis with Governor Martinez changed it so we're more competitive for manufacturing from the single sales apportionment factor, which is a long government way of saying it's more competitive to make things here now. There's still some things we need to do, in my opinion, to make New Mexico more competitive, but we're certainly moving in the right direction. And this entrepreneurship movement with Innovate ABQ here at the Old First Baptist site, it's really good stuff, and it gives people something to launch from.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, we're having one of our DJ ABQ Connect Now events at Epicenter in June, I believe it is. So we're very excited to really occupy that space with a lot of our clients, and they'll experience that facility that's really part of our resource availability as a business person
in
our community.
It's an old soup kitchen, and we turned it into the community center for entrepreneurship.
Well, and you turned it in for SCORE to use. I'm a SCORE mentor, certified mentor, and we use that building, so thank you.
SCORE's great. We use them with our small business. SCORE was really helpful to Maria and I with our business. So it's all about giving back. This ecosystem is really about lifting each other up, sharing ideas, innovation is 90% theft, but and it's always kind of a joke you hear around the idea mills. But if somebody has an idea in our community, whether it's Andy Lim, is a rock star here with LaVue. We've got this company Scorpios now that has a computer chip that's going to reinvent, in my opinion, the computer industry. They came out of the MCore. Some of the MCore folks and some other people came in. We've got Bowtie. Scott and his group that have started here. We've got the folks from Etsy that are doing their work. There's an awful lot of talent here. And what I'm hearing is I travel around the country and I talk to people about Albuquerque. Silicon Valley is certainly too expensive for most people now, and it's still the engine that it is. But Austin is getting kind of overrun. Some of these other cities, people are looking for a place that they can come, be themselves, be creative, have a good value so that they can make their money that they have surrounding their ideas last longer. We have a flagship university, two national labs, Sandia and AFRL. We've got all of this great components here. And quite frankly, we just under-leveraged it all these years. We're just trying to change that.
And the quality of life. I mean, again,
oh, yeah.
No earthquakes, tornadoes, natural disasters, all that, the mountains, all that. So we have that rich culture, quality of life as well. That's an extremely salient selling point when you bring folks here on familiarization tours and yep. those kinds of
and
things.
And I think one of our biggest selling points is our diversity. And the fact that we don't just tolerate diversity, we celebrate it.
Yeah.
And think about that for a minute. You go to certain cities that are diverse, and they tolerate it, but that's not the same as celebrating it. Here, we've lived it for centuries.
Yeah.
We're an ancient place.
Yeah.
From America, American standards.
Yeah. Sure.
And
Oñate was here in 1598 before the Pilgrims. Nobody ever talks about that. So yeah. that assimilation dynamic has been happening for 400 plus years.
And with challenges that come with that, sometimes we apologize too much for challenges. We got challenges we have to face head on, but we should be proud of that because the creative, class, they want diversity.
Quick question. What is the population currently of Albuquerque, including Rio Rancho, the MSA, if you will?
About a million. We're about a million metro. We're a little under a million metro. We're about the 32nd largest city in the country. You'd think we're, people that have grown up here think it's a smaller town. We're bigger than actually Atlanta, San Francisco, Minneapolis, Kansas City, some of these cities. Now, their metros are much bigger.
Right.
But when I see these mayors around, if you look at Albuquerque, about 32nd on the list, and then our metro is about 85th in the country.
Got it. A question very briefly, if you will, about, and we've been talking about, when I say we collectively as a community, we've been talking about downtown revitalization for mm-hmm. 37 years since Coronado really opened up the mall and kind of changed all the dynamics. What are some of your thoughts and insights about downtown revitalization?
We're gonna have been an administration to put more resources and catalysts downtown than anybody has for a very long time. I've taken a different approach. I didn't want to overplan and do a omnibus plan where we color every block and it has to be color coded and you can only do one thing here and one thing there. We basically just said, let's just do one catalyst at a time. We did the convention center, the grocery store, and the Imperial Building is going to be done here in the spring. We're looking at art, the bus rapid transit line to connect the university to downtown to the west side and in that whole corridor. We've done other things with the small things, the revitalization of Civic Plaza. But we're just, that we were able to work with the FDIC to get the Anasazi Building fixed up there in the corner of 6th and Central so it wasn't an eyesore. Just really, rail yards is another thing, one thing at a time, but not getting overly prescriptive about it. Letting the private sector run with it. Now we're going to have a new $40 million investment at First and Central because we took that parking lot right across from the First Baptist Church site, put it out there for RFP. We're going to put a 400-space parking structure there. And then just let the private sector and investors do what they do, invest.
I like your approach. It's not necessarily one panacea magic wand thing.
And there's none.
But do you think, because I know – again, I'd been around convention tourism all my life. I worked at the chamber for 1,000 years. There was always that talk about the hotel. We need another hotel downtown.
I think we still do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So that's part of the plan. So if you did have a magic wand and you had unlimited funding and forget all the political pushback, what do you see two or three things that should happen in the next 10 years downtown if you had a magic wand?
Well, I mean, we want more people living downtown, and people want to live in the core of the city, and it's not just millennials. The empty nesters want to live in urban cores. So I think you just bring more people downtown. It's like anything else. The reason that this bus rapid transit line could have $2 to $3 billion worth of positive impact for our city is because what will happen when it goes in, if we're fortunate enough to get the money from the feds, and we'll know that here, we'll either know or soon. It'll be much more dense residential housing along the corridor. The more rooftops, the more small businesses are needed. And that's everything from a dry cleaner to a neighborhood pub to a place to eat, place to get your hair done, whatever it happens to be. And that builds up this whole thing. So it's residential always leads commercial, and that's what we need to do. And then, of course, the entertainment district, we work on that a lot as well.
Last year I went to Italy, and it sounds like we're kind of like developing that culture city of its own where you can live, work, play, get your dry cleaning, your shopping, your eating out, all in within a 1 mile radius.
People want, the only people that drive less than your grandmother are millennials, right? So people do want to live and walk, and they want to be in proximity. And that's a very healthy thing, I think. I like my 3/4-ton pickup, and I like to get out in the country and do my thing. And I grew up in a rural environment. But I also, even just as a mayor, I'd like to be able to walk to a grocery store, walk down, you know. And so it's just a matter of giving people what they want. And times change. Preferences change from generation to generation. The next generation coming through are the millennials. They want certain things. You've got to give them what they're looking for. And then you've got to give the empty nesters what they're looking for. So.
Thank you for tuning into ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday. I'm Jeffrey Candelaria along with
DJ Heckes.
DJ, briefly, some of our live events coming up.
Yes, our next one is coming up is in February, Jeffrey. I'm really excited. It's at ABQ Connect Now live event, February 25th from 8:30 to 10 in the morning. It's at a restaurant here. It's called Bravo Uptown. That's 8:30 to 10. You can also call 604-9081 to RSVP. It's free with food provided.
So, Mayor, we only have a couple of minutes. I know one of the issues that affects our state, more of a macro than an Albuquerque question, if you will, but the right-to-work situation, and we can't necessarily, in my view, be competitive in some regards because we have right-to-work. You have to be a dues-paying member and all that kind of thing. Do you have any thoughts on some of that kind of thing?
I'm a strong proponent of New Mexico being a right-to-work state. I do not believe it's an affront to unions. I have mayor friends from Michigan. Michigan's even a right-to-work state now, the most unionized state in the country,
right.
I think. And but it doesn't run unions out. It doesn't keep people from joining unions. But I can tell you, I have sat across the table from site selectors who are looking at Albuquerque to bring jobs here, especially in those areas where we need to diversify, manufacturing and other private sector businesses. And they have told me in no uncertain terms, you're a great place. We like your workforce. We like everything else. But we are not going to make this significant of an investment if you're not a right-to-work state. So even if it only landed one or two companies, I think it would land more than that. Why would you turn your back on opportunity for New Mexico families? That's what it comes down to. But it's become a political sword. It's become a litmus test. There are legislators that I'm sure get a phone call from certain folks saying, if you vote for this, not only are we not going to support you, but we're going to primary you. We need to stop this. And there's other issues on the Republican side that we need to stop falling on our swords too. So look, it's not just a one-sided equation, but I think right to work would be Bruce King, when he was governor, I think in 1979, maybe, and also in 1980, had right to work on his desk, did not sign them. If he would, and I'm a Bruce King fan in a lot of ways, but if he would have signed those, New Mexico would have a much different economy today.
Right.
Now we're a donut hole. We're the only state around us that doesn't have some kind of
We have to position ourselves as more competitive in every regard. That's why this whole tax overregulation dynamic needed to be addressed, and you've made efforts to start to alleviate some of that.
We're moving in the right direction.
Can you quickly explain the right to work so our listeners understand that in like 30 seconds?
Right to work means we're not a right to work state. So if you're an employee and your workplace is unionized, you don't have to join the union, but you do have to pay union dues under what's called fair share. Right to work simply means that you have the right to go to work without being forced to join a union or forced to pay dues. And so it gives the workers the choice. People I talk to say it helps the union sometimes because they have to be more competitive. They have to provide more services. Now they have to do a better job to attract more membership. So, all the boats rise together. But it's become a litmus test here, unfortunately.
Very good. Thank you again, Mayor. We realize how busy you are, and we appreciate our listeners for being our guest today. Thank you again for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now.
Did you know that only 50% of your marketing dollars actually work? That's right, just 50%. Which 50% is working for you? Are you tired of wasting money and not reaching the right target audience through your marketing dollars? Exhibit can help you get noticed through design and print of corporate branding, marketing one sheets, brochures, and trade show displays. Marketing has changed, and the way to reach your target audience is changing. If you want to grow your business and work with a reputable and well-known company, be sure to call now and talk with one of our marketing and Exhibit experts, 828-0574. That's 828-0574. Or visit us on the web at exhib-it.com. Again, exhib-it.com. Exhibit, it's New Mexico's leading provider of marketing, design, and printing, and portable, modular, and custom trade show displays. proud sponsor and co-host of KTBL 1050 AM ABQ Connect Now Business Talk Radio Show on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Welcome back, Albuquerque, to our second segment of ABQ Connect Now. I'm Jeffrey Candelary with Bank of the West, along with
DJ Heckes with Exhib It.
Thank you for tuning in every Saturday, 1050 KTBL. If you'd like to be a guest on the show or attend one of our live events, give me a call, 604-9081, 604-9081. DJ, before you introduce our next guest, talk a little bit about your sponsorship of ABQ Connect Now.
Thanks, Jeffrey. You know, I believe in supporting businesses here in Albuquerque. I think we have a great place to work, live, and grow our children. I have a business. I've been in business going on 16 years next month, and I don't think I'd pick any other city but Albuquerque. The culture's great, the diversity. You can't go wrong with the red and green, and I really believe in giving back as a community leader.
And thank you for hosting our recent ABQ Connect Now. A few weeks back, we had over 100 attendees, business folks, not just folks, but business folks. So our next guest, DJ.
Our next guest today is Kenny Grebe. Did I say your name right?
You
Kenny?
Did.
Thank
yes.
you. He's an Albuquerque native. He went to La Cueva High School, graduated from UNM, and this is a perfect story because what do we want to do? Keep our young entrepreneurs in Albuquerque. He loves the art of marketing, and he actually is the president and founder of Red Shovel Landscape. So welcome to our show today, and thanks for picking New Mexico to start your business after UNM.
Well, thank you for having me over. You know, Albuquerque is home for me, so I never left. So starting a business here was the only fit for me. So,
you've owned several businesses, though, is that correct? Not just this particular
one? Yeah,
I
have a very entrepreneurial spirit. So I'm always looking for something new to dabble in. And as a result, you know, with trying something new, there's lots of different failures as well. So it's part of being an entrepreneur, to be right honest.
In our first segment, we had Mayor Barron. He, interestingly, he pointed out that Albuquerque has about a 32-33 percentile reliance on government jobs, really. And he wasn't saying that's good, bad, or ugly, but in other words, we have a lot of bureaucrats here in our marketplace,
but we
don't have enough entrepreneurs, although we're beginning to foster that. Where did your entrepreneurial spirit originate from? Do you remember as a kid wanting to, you know, sell lemonade and all that kind of thing, or how did that start?
I have my family's always been in business. My uncle, his name is Robert Grebe. He started several companies as I was growing up. One was American Laser Games. It was the very first live video video games that you saw on the market, and he was very successful in that. But he kind of started it with combat training, but my cousin and I loved to play them, and so he took the concept that he originally developed for the government and took it to consumers via video games, just from the observation that we like to play the game. And so that was kind of what spurred me on to just similar philosophies and desires to kind of come up with an idea and see it come to fruition, you know, and do something different.
So Red Shovel, tell me, how did you come up with that name? You know, I'm into branding. I love branding.
Yeah.
How did you come up with that?
It's a common question I get quite regularly. So when you think of Red Shovel, it has an instant image that pops up into your head. Okay. What do you think of when I say Red Shovel?
I think of planting in my backyard with the pointy, shovel with a point.
And Jeffrey, what do you think of when I say Red Shovel?
Well, I have a different way of thinking, so it didn't relate to landscaping. But to your point, it did. There was an image of a shovel.
Yeah, it's a quick
A spade shovel. Yeah,
that's right. It's a quick mental image, and that's what makes something memorable. Okay.
Yep.
And in coming up with you know, in the landscaping industry, it's green this, it's green that, it's leaf cleaners and lawnscapers and groundskeepers and the like. And so you have a green industry that has, not broken the mold with being green. And so when you have a field of green and you stick a red dot in the middle, well, it tends to stick out a little bit more. And so and branding, you know, that's one of the things that I take into consideration, is what creates a quick mental image that is going to be memorable for people without hearing it very often.
What's your logo look like?
Well, you can pull it up and look it up online. It's redshovel.com. I've taken a very kind of an old approach to branding the company in the sense of it's an image that looks like what you would have saw back in the 40s or 50s when people really knew how to work. You know, one of the the greatest generation that really came out and proved themselves by just real sweat and blood and trying to develop something and build character through hard work. And so we've taken that concept and tried to brand us as that company, because to be right honest, in today's world, it's not necessarily what people think of. So it is a red shovel,
The Puritan ethic, industriousness.
That's right.
That's exactly what my book is about, the Puritan ethic versus the Catholic construct. We'll talk about that later. Very controversial, but interesting nonetheless. Getting back to you then, so what makes for distinction in your business, particularly that you're in an industry that's so competitive? You open the Yellow Pages, whatever, there's about 8,000 landscaping businesses in Albuquerque. What makes your operation distinctive?
Well, that's part of the reason why I decided to go into the industry. Okay, you've got there's no limit to the amount of people that have a truck and a shovel, right? What you do have a limit of is people who understand business and customer service, okay? And so that's the main differentiation between Red Shovel and the hundreds of other landscape companies that you might come across. We focus primarily on the consumer, the homeowner. And so we've built systems to be able to provide a customer service that you cannot find anywhere else. Combining technology, habits and behaviors that people are doing on a normal basis to be able to provide them with a service that they're comfortable with, makes it easy for them, and there's no hurdles for them to purchase from us.
You're listening to ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday on KTBL 1050. I'm Jeffrey Candelary with Bank of the West, along with
DJ Heckes with Exhib It.
Our guest is Kenny Grebe. He is the owner of Red Shovel Landscape. So I'm thinking about getting all my rock removed and some concrete in the backyard, whatever. So I call you up, true scenario, and I say, Ken, I want you to remove the rock and this little a platform of concrete and plant grass. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but what would make that different from my perspective versus calling green leaf grand landscape? Would you'd give me a bid and all that, but what would make that experience different? From my perspective as a homeowner.
Well, we're going to ask you a lot of questions before we do anything. I mean, the first thing I'm going to ask is, what do you want to do with the space? How long are you going to stay here? Is this an investment for you? Are you going to move out of this house?
Be here for 30 years. I just want grass. I don't like looking at concrete.
Okay. And do you want to mow your grass?
Yes.
Okay. So you want to be outside, you want to interact with it.
I want to participate in the living, breathing organism that is the grass.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's a part of the process, you know. If you should understand this, that Kentucky bluegrass does not belong in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It belongs in Kentucky, right? So if the perception is that you're going to just put grass in your backyard and it's going to just do its thing, well, you would be sadly mistaken, because that's not the way it works. It takes a lot of care. And so I'll find out whether or not I'm going to set you up for success before making a recommendation to you based on your current behaviors and your habits.
Right? Got it.
And if you're willing to go out there and do that, well, then I can set you up and give you exactly what you want. But it'd be a process of communication and asking a lot of questions. And then what we do is we have our in-house designers come sit down with you, get a feel for what your tastes are by looking at your house, you know, your furniture, type of art that you like on the wall, and then create the space surrounding your personality for the most part.
I like it.
And then we can do lots of different things. So that might be a two-dimensional rendering, or might be a three-dimensional animation.
So it's more of a holistic approach. It's not just, okay, we'll put the grass, see you later, here's my bill, bye.
Try not to.
Great.
Try not to.
I like
now,
it.
That happens, you know, because
right.
That's what some people want, but we try to get away from it.
Got it.
So I'm on your website, mm-hmm. Okay? Is that you on the About Us page?
It is me.
So you can see a picture of Kenny on there. I really like your call to action when you're talking about the truth. You can spend your time, or you know, you go into the details, or you can let us do the things for you. The marketing looks good. You can tell you have a lot of marketing experience in your background. Can you share? Because a lot of people that go into business, they understand operations and systems, or maybe even financials, or maybe people. But the marketing I hear all the time is where people struggle. How do you connect the marketing with your success? Because it even says that you're one of the fastest growing landscaping companies in the state. So share with our listeners what you attribute that to.
Yeah. So just to kind of give you some idea of what that means, our company grew 18% last year. Okay. So in an economy where we wouldn't say that it's growing, to be able to grow by double digits is actually fairly significant, when a lot of people are actually continuing to drop in their business. We're heavily into radio. I love radio. It's a medium that works, right? And being able to, well, we try to connect with people prior to the need. Not everybody needs my services today, but I want to build a relationship with them so that, you know, 3 years from today, when they have that need for whatever, I'm the first person they think of, right? And not only am I the first person they think of, I've built a relationship with them and they already have a trust with us. And we use lots of different mediums to do that. The website is just an extension of the personality that we have developed online, and we try to give people tools to be able to, you know, get very comfortable with us. We don't hide anything, so you can actually go on our website, type in your address, and then measure your property and get a price for a lot of different services right there.
And that's where you combine that technology to make it easy, because a lot of people are busy, they want it now, so you're actually adapting to consumer demand. Because they don't want to wait. They don't want to call around, wait for you to come out, wait a few days. Sometimes they have that emotional buy-in, and you're capturing that 5% buy-in by allowing that ease of doing business.
Yeah, you have lots. I mean, you can break up population density into two different categories. You have extroverted individuals, and you have introverted individuals. And the only difference between these two individuals is the way that they
perceive?
The way that they like to receive information, right? So an introvert would much rather sit on their couch and go to the website and the comfort of their home and anonymously do that than a lot of people just want to pick up the phone and call us, right? So we try to recognize that not everybody's the same, right? And if I kind of go by the old saying is do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. It's do unto others as they would have done unto themselves, right? And if you're doing that on a regular basis, then you're serving people the way that they want to be served.
Hmm.
So I don't look at anything the way that I like it. It is how you want it.
You know? Yeah. You're listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Social-oriented personalities, some studies have demonstrated, don't want to interpret a lot of data. But you have more the accountant, cerebral personality that wants a lot of metric, a lot of data. So there's an example of two different personalities wanting to receive different types of information and in different types of ways.
That's right. And the internet's the one medium that you can actually use to serve people the information that they want to receive it, because it's an interactive medium, right? So, you know, a scientist is not going to look at my information the way somebody who's a little bit more spontaneous would do. He's going to want to look at every little bit of information that I might have, whereas somebody else might just want the bullet points, give me the big picture and what's it going to cost. You know, so we try to provide that information as they want it.
Thank you again for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now. I'm Jeffrey Candelari with Bank of the West, along with
DJ Heckes with Exhib It.
Our next live ABQ Connect Now event is going to be at the Canyon Club at Four Hills on March.
February 1 is February 25th. It's coming up in than a couple weeks. That's actually from 8:30 to 10 in the morning at Bravo Uptown. That's Bravo Uptown, ABQ Connect Now, February 25th. It's an a.m. event, 8:30 to 10. And then March event, yes, is at the Canyon Club.
Four Hills.
That'll be an evening event. That's Thursday, March 31st at Canyon Club, Four Hills. Be sure to RSVP. These events are actually free. You connect, you collaborate, you communicate, and really get to know other business leaders in the community. You can call 604-9081 for both these events. We actually have events booked through August now?
Absolutely.
Jeffrey, and the app we have, you can download the free app to know all the future events.
We have our own app, ABQ Connect Now, and it will inform you as a business person, particularly if you're a business person, about live ABQ Connect Now events. In fact, DJ, we're, I believe, the only radio show that has not only the radio business show every week, but we complement that with live business events called ABQ Connect Now. Our guest is Kenny Greedy. In fact, I know your uncle, Robert, very well. He's a client and a good friend of mine. I've known him for years. So anyway, Kenny is the owner of Red Shovel Landscape. Offline, we were talking about a quote from Truman. He said, quote, Truman, here he is, Truman there from Independent, Missouri, said, "There's nothing new in the world except a history you don't know." So you mentioned something similar to that in your approach to business, right? There's nothing new about business except its application. Talk about that.
Yeah, there's no new ideas, right? That's one thing that I've learned to my loss over the last several years. It's like, you know, you think you have a great idea, well, you better get onto it because somebody else has already got that idea as well.
So true.
And you can learn a lot from history. There is nothing new out there. Like you're saying, Truman, I'll say Solomon. Solomon said that there's nothing new under the sun. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. So I look at history to make decisions for today. Even in the social realm, if you look at our culture today, our culture is very similar to the way it was in the late 30s and early 40s from a collective standpoint of how the mood of people is and how they're wanting to be part of something. You know?
Except the mafia was more prevalent back then.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, that was right around the time, obviously, the Depression had been unfurling for about 8 years. There was a lot of just almost that sense of 1984 feeling, because it was so, the unemployment rate was 18-19%. But it was actually World War II, which obviously was a horrific experience, but it coalesced a lot of folks, caused manufacturing. It really coalesced the country's mindset as a focus. We're united against an evil called Germany and Japan. But further, it really stimulated the economy because of all the manufacturing. We out-manufactured Germany is what it amounted to in the end. And we were able to produce more B-17s, more Jeeps, more this, more that than they were. Ultimately, that's what led, and I'm oversimplifying, but it led to the demise of Germany and Japan because we out-manufactured them. But to your point, you're saying you see a parallel. So expand on that.
Yeah, it's a parallel of value systems, right? That, you know, we would fighting for what's best for the whole as opposed to the individual, right, that you might have seen in the 80s. And you kind of see these parallels in pop culture through music and arts and literature. You can see like what you might consider the voices in the wilderness. It's the speaking change. And, you know, if you look at the last two presidential elections, you know, the Obama administration is very much a collective sense and values. It's for the people and not so much a single individual that is running. It's about us. It's about hope, you know, that type of thing. And that's been the shift of the cultural value systems that you've seen in America for the last 15 years, I'd say. But there will be a peak of that, and then, you know, you'll have people that will complain against it because there's not going to be – anytime you lean heavily to one side or the next, it's going to cause problems.
That's an interesting thought, because the precursor to the Depression, 29, was the Roaring Twenties, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Gatsby, the emphasis on secularism. Really interesting point, because the 80s were all about that. Well, again, this is an anthropological theory, if you will, or a position, but it was all about that. It was parallel to the 20s in many ways, to your point. So I hadn't thought about that. So that's an interesting way of looking at things as a business owner.
Well, that's the thing, is like, how do you relate all that to business, right? That's the big question that you get a lot of times. Well, what does that have to do with business? Well, it has to do with business in the sense of, like, if you can understand what the values are of the greatest percentage of the population, you can speak to those values, then you're going to be able to connect with them on a greater level, which is going to make you more successful in the long run, right? because that's what you know, when people make go through the buying process, what they want to do is they want to be comfortable with who you are, right? You're selling yourself as much as you are selling a product, and you're selling confidence in that product through a connection of values. Right.
That's a great point. After World War II, people were really fatigued with war, so they wanted to come home and sit on a couch. So couch sales went up millions of percentage points, seriously. TV sets, home, having kids, because we were fatigued as a country with just, you know, the perils of war, the horrors of war. People wanted to go home with their family and eat donuts. Donut sales went up. The whole point is, to Leave It to Beaver, that whole mindset was an obvious result of the fatigue of war in this, in our country.
Yeah.
So that's actually quite a good point. The point is, further, people that own refrigerator businesses and all that position themselves to sell lots of Frigidaires, which they did by the millions in the 50s. Couches, too. Donuts, all that. Isn't that interesting?
Donuts. Hey, I'm really curious. Since you graduated at UNM Anderson School, UNM, you ran two local radio stations, and then you developed a 21st Century Spa franchise and developed a mobile technology app to reduce the contractor liability. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of this innovation.
I worked in radio for 4 years. That's what part of the reason why I love the medium, because I know how to make it work, right? Good experience and being able to write copy, how to be able to connect with people on the other side, from mic to.
Were you on
car.
The sales side? What part of radio?
Yeah,
were you
so
on?
I worked in on the sales side, right? So on the sales side, it's coming up with a schedule that will produce for whoever your client is, but then writing copy associated with it to get people to cause an action, right? It's a good experience that I had, and I'm very grateful for it. And if you can sell air, you can sell pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have experienced that yourself here, but it is a very difficult concept. You're really selling an idea is what you're selling.
Yeah, and the implementation is really they're dependent on you.
That's right.
It's implemented.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I always tell people is that you know don't think this is going to happen overnight. You know, you have to build a reputation, and it could take several years to be right honest. Mm-hmm. I worked in radio. I had started my landscaping company just out of a pure desire to be in business for myself. I ran it for a few years while I was at the radio station, and it afforded me to be able to do both things. And then had another friend of mine who had a good concept and was looking to expand his business. And so I took that concept and developed all the franchising documents, marketing material, operations manuals, and the like. And, you know, with business life cycles, and at that particular time, I was dealing with a recession. So if you're talking about franchises, people that buy franchises tend to have already been successful someplace else. And so when money gets tight, then franchises start to not sell as many franchises. And that's when I went back into kind of doing my own thing in Red Shovel as an independent contractor. And that's where I came up with the mobile liability contracting app that I had developed as well. It's from a need, a personal need, that I saw opportunity to sell to other people.
So is that a private app or is it a public?
Yeah,
is
right
it
now
consumer?
It's just a private app. You know, you're still working out the bugs associated with
okay.
it. But it's really a very simple concept. It's using the existing software that everybody has. Everybody's got a smartphone today and GPS and a camera, right? So with landscaping, you know, I end up running into Comcast quite regularly, okay? Comcast cable is probably one of the worst utility companies with regards to placing their utilities than anybody. When they say they're going to bury the cable, it's drop the cable and kick some dirt on top of it. So we run into them pretty regularly with regards to breaking lines. Well, it came the process of refuting the claims associated with that gets to be very labor intensive and costly. So I developed an app to reduce that liability and time associated with a claim that they might have. You know, snap a picture of it, shows the date, the time, exactly where it was marked, and then it gets filed into a system to where all I have to do is email the file out, and I no longer have to fight you in court. That's basically what that looks like.
Fascinating. So one of the things we're gleaning from what you do as a business entrepreneur is anticipation. You anticipate a mass behavioral propensity, and you fill that vacuum. And you also understand some of the value proposition, or the value, I guess you say, positions and platforms that that audience happens to have inside that wave of behavioral propensity based on anticipation. That's very impressive.
Yeah, I don't look at my business as just this is just landscaping. This is what we do. I've developed partnerships with other people. The Cliffs Amusement Park is a partnership that I developed over the last 3 years. Seeing an opportunity with the city has the biopark and the River of Lights. Seeing an opportunity there where the displays weren't changing any, but the amount of people that were going there was great. I saw an opportunity where we could do some of the things that we do. We do a lot of holiday lighting throughout the city. So I partnered with Cliffs to develop an event to, have to compete with other things that were available, right? So it's not, people think we're just in landscaping. Well, no, we're not just in landscaping. We do a lot of different things. I'm trying to find opportunities where nobody else is looking at it. I mean, that's the whole idea.
It's almost like niche marketing. You're finding that niche and you're meeting a need.
Yeah,
people
in many
not
respects,
even
you
be
could
aware
say that.
Of the demand yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, physics, one of the first rules or laws of physics is the universe hates a vacuum.
That's right.
I should be on TV. Anyway, well, thank you for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. I'm Jeffrey Candelary, along with
DJ Heckes.
So, Kenny, getting back to this way of thinking, very, very curious way of thinking, very, very effective. Where did this come from? Your mom, your dad, your friends, whatever. Understanding not just I have a shovel and a hoe and a rake and I'm going to do your lawn, but understanding the whole the dynamic of behavior and serving a service or a need to that behavior.
Yeah, I believe in continual education, right? I'm a perpetual student. You're never not learning. And so when I was in radio and I really wanted to find out more about marketing, I just started reading more books. And I come across a business academy for entrepreneurs down in Austin, Texas. It was founded by a gentleman named Roy Williams. Roy continues to be a business partner of mine today, where he does all my marketing and consulting, copywriting, and that sort of thing. But I'm very thankful to have that friendship with Roy. But he developed an amazing academy down in Austin, Texas, that teaches you a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about today. It's what makes a Picasso a Picasso. Right? How is it that Picasso, like millions of people throughout the world, can look at it and it evokes an emotion that wants you to interact with it? Well, there's a science to that, right? Now, you may not be able to do it quite as intuitively as what he has, but if you can break down the science and then put it into your business, well, you can be far more persuasive than what you would have been otherwise. And it's a great place.
So I'm going to ask you this question because it sounds like you run your business a lot on the why, not the how and the what.
Yeah, why, yeah.
So why?
If I was to be honest, I run my business with one intention. Only that which is done in Christ's name will last.
Good.
That's it.
Good for you.
Yeah. So that's what it's for, you know.
Yeah. It's his business.
We're providing employees work and the like, so it's for everybody else.
Well, thank you for being a guest today, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now.
Did you know that only 50% of your marketing dollars actually work? That's right, just 50%. Which 50% is working for you? Are you tired of wasting money and not reaching the right target audience through your marketing dollars? Exhibit can help you get noticed through design and print of corporate branding, marketing one-sheets, brochures, and trade show displays. Marketing has changed, and the way to reach your target audience is changing. If you want to grow your business and work with a reputable and well-known company, be sure to call now and talk with one of our marketing and exhibit experts, 828-0574. That's 828-0574. or visit us on the web at exhib-it.com. Again, exhib-it.com. Exhibit, it's New Mexico's leading provider of marketing, design, and printing, and portable, modular, and custom trade show displays. Proud sponsor and co-host of KTBL 1050 AM ABQ Connect Now Business Talk Radio Show on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Listen online at 1050talk.com. 1050 KTBL, Los Ranchos de Albuquerque.
A Cumulus Media Station.
Going north, release the email. I'm Michael Toscano with one of the violent fugitives who broke out of a Southern California jail a week ago, having turned himself in. Police now say the other two may be up north. Nick Valencia on the manhunt.
The key of this investigation.